This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off the replacement training bundle.
I'm Kaylee. I'm 23 and I have been dealing with trichotillomania for 10 years now in July. And me being a writer, I wanted to write something about it, but I always get really emotional whenever I write anything about my trichotillomania. So when I found this podcast, I figured it would be a great opportunity to talk face to face to someone who understands what I'm going through. And it'll be very healing and liberating once all of this information gets out to the world, because people in my life and strangers always have their questions and sometimes say things that aren't very kind. So if you want an answer, here you go.
Do you have a memory of the first time that you pulled your hair?
The first time I pulled my hair was at summer camp in July of 2014. I was 13 at the time. I had some stuff going on at home, and that really just kind of, it was an overnight camp, so that just kind of triggered, I guess, me to be a little nervous, and I just took it out on my head, because, like, my parents weren't there to talk about it with me. I didn't really know where to turn to, I guess, so I guess I just kind of turned to my head, and it's just been different triggers in a cycle ever since. It hasn't left my life in 10 years. I've gone times without doing it, but it's still been a part of my life all those 10 years.
When you got home from summer camp, did you have that conversation with your parents, or did they notice first?
I did have a conversation with my parents, and I felt really bad and awkward about it. It was pretty obvious that to me, and probably to everybody else, that my hair was thinning. And I even have seen photos of me, like, right after I got home from camp. And even in the photos, like, my hair part was growing. And I just didn't even have that much hair when I started with 3 weeks earlier. Like, I just really went at it when I was at camp that year.
Did anybody notice at camp or ask you any questions?
Not that I know of. I mean, people could have noticed because they may have seen me do it or seen the amount of hair surrounding my bed space or in the garbage cans. I'm sure people did notice because it's kind of hard not to notice, in my opinion, when someone's hair is different than the normal. So I definitely think people noticed, just no one said anything. Not that I remember. I don't think anyone said anything. To me, at least.
After you shared with your parents, what were your next steps as a family?
Nothing really got set in stone until December. Like, I was pulling throughout that year, and my hair was just so off the charts bad. Like, I just had one little piece left that we put in a braid, and I wore a hat over it. And eventually, I ended up getting a wig because it was so bad. And I was really insecure about myself at that time, like, hair-wise, and I didn't want short hair. So I got a wig, and it was a glue-on wig. So it wasn't one where you could just take on and off at night. It was a glue-on wig. Like, I went to the salon once a month to get it re-glued. I showered in it. I did all my life in it. But I was still able to access the hair on my head through the wig, so I was pulling underneath the wig. So my wig was coming off, and I had to get glue to put it on to re-glue it during the times I wasn't at the salon because I was still able to access my hair. And now that I think about it, I really wish I got rid of all that hair under the wig, but I wanted some of my real long hair, so I didn't. But now I really, really wish I got rid of it.
You mentioned earlier that you had multiple BFRBs throughout your lifetime. What are some other ones that you've dealt with?
I picked at my skin, I've bitten my nails. I still do those things, but the main thing I think about when I think of BFRB is my trick because it's the one that affects me the most on the daily basis that makes my appearance look quote unquote abnormal. People ask questions about it. I've gotten rude comments about it. Like, I feel like with my nails and my skin, no one's really noticed or said anything, but with the trick, sometimes people aren't very kind.
What are some ways that you have tried to maybe cover it up or even lessen your pulling?
I wear bandanas on my head pretty much every day or a hat. I've used black spray to match the color of my hair when I did have a good amount of hair on my head. And there's also a lot of times where I'll just go all natural, which isn't very much at the moment. But for the most part, I do cover my head. And people ask about that too, like, why do you like wear these, or like, why do you always wear a hat? And, it's hard to receive that question, but I just answer and say, this is how I like it. I don't give them the full story because not everyone deserves to be a part of that aspect in my life. But now that we're getting at the 10-year point, I really, really, really wanted to share my story because I know it'll be helpful to other people. And I think some people will benefit from it.
And you mentioned before that there have been moments where you have lessened your pulling, maybe even stopped completely. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
I don't know how on earth I did that, first of all. But secondly, the longest I've gone without pulling is 7 months. And I haven't gone that long in about 3 years. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that now I'm an adult. I have different responsibilities than I did when I was younger. And it's just a different type of stress that I had when I was a kid. And I think that has a lot to do with why my pulling has increased a little bit more, because I do pull a lot when it comes to being stressed out about certain things in my life.
Who was the first person that you told about your BFRB and how did it go?
This answer might not be 100% correct because I was at camp. I have a feeling it is, knowing me, but I'm pretty sure the first people I told were my parents. Because, like, as soon as I got off the bus home, I just had this guilt because I wasn't telling them in the letters that I wrote home. I didn't tell them anything. I'm pretty sure I didn't want them to worry about me. So I'm pretty sure as soon as I got off the bus for camp and came home, I told them.
What advice would you give someone who has developed a BFRB?
Don't let it define the self-love you have for yourself. There was a lot of times where I associated my confidence with the amount of hair on my head. Like, I thought I would be happier if I had longer hair. And right now, I don't really have any hair at all. And I've never, like, these past few years, I haven't had any hair really. And I've never felt more happy and content with who I am as a person and what I have to go through on a daily basis in my entire life. Like, I'm very proud of myself. I'm happy to be me. I don't dislike myself like I did as a teenager with longer hair. So I really do think don't let it define your worth as a person, because you are not your BFRB. You're not.
How did you get to the point where you were having more positive self-talk? Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
It was after I left high school when I got into my autism advocacy that I do online. It got to the point where I like discovered a lot about myself in that aspect from like all these autism creators on the internet posting all this stuff, and it made me really, really relate to it. And then seeing all these trichotillomania creators on the internet, and I'm just like, wow, like there's this huge community. I don't have to suppress these thoughts inside of me anymore, like for this podcast, for example, because not a lot of people know like the 100% transparent story. Like, my friends know that I pull and they know some parts of it, but they don't know how far back it goes and like what the story was when it first started. But I also think that when it comes to self-love and my pulling, it kind of comes with a price a little bit, because now I'm like, oh, my long hair doesn't determine my self-love. But I think with the fact that I have gained a lot of self-love over the years, of course I have my moments, but I think maybe the me loving myself more has given me a harder time controlling my hair pulling, because I don't associate the two together anymore. But I'd much rather have the self-love and no hair than self-hate and a lot of hair.
I can totally relate to that. I've looked at pictures of myself where in my head I felt like successful with my BFRB, but inside I was miserable. I was so mean and nasty to myself, and it's like it really isn't worth it.
I agree.
What are some things that you like to do for self-care?
I love to write. I like to write whenever I can, and if it's like a good enough piece, I'll post it on the internet. And I also love to make rainbow loom bracelets right now. I've been doing it for almost 2 years. It's a good way to procrastinate time where I could be pulling, just to like keep my hands busy and I'm not like watching TV or just any stuff like that. And I love to hang out with my friends, my family, my pets, all that when I'm not working.
Do you have any locations, whether it's somewhere in the house or in the car, that you find yourself saying, "Hey, I know I'm going to pull here, so I should be prepared"?
In my room. Because I only really pull at night when I'm alone. Because I know if someone in my family catches me, they'll say something. And even though they never say anything bad, it's just very embarrassing for them to see me do that. So I only really do it by myself in my room at night. Sometimes during the day, but rarely. It's like always at night.
What do you wish people knew about BFRBs?
I wish that people knew that it's a normal part of human experience, and like things that people may not consider BFRBs, like biting your nails, is a BFRB, because I know that so many people out there bite their nails.
Being so public online and sharing your experience, and even in person, people noticing your BFRB, what are some things that people have maybe said to you that weren't so great?
I almost never share it online. Sometimes I do, but hardly ever. This is kind of something, for the most part, I like to keep behind closed doors. However, anyone that looks at me knows that there's something different about my appearance. I remember even family members have said things that aren't very kind, and that just sticks with you. Like one of my family members said, like, if you shave your head, you'll look like a cancer patient. Or last year when I was in an Uber, this one lady asked me about my chemo, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I thought you had cancer. You're wearing a headscarf. And I'm like, no, I was like, I don't have cancer. I just like to wear these. And I gave her a bad review because it felt like she was violating my privacy and criticizing my appearance. And I've gotten people who have criticized my appearance and have whispered in front of me and looking at me about my appearance. And people, like, even though I can't hear what they're saying, I know that they're talking about me. Like, it's pretty obvious. And it just really just pulls at your heartstrings. Like, I try to not let it get to me, but it always does, even though it's been 10 years and I feel like I should be able to brush that stuff off more. It doesn't get easier, at least for me. And like the family member thing, that one always hurts the most, because these are supposed to be people who love me unconditionally. And hearing stuff from them like that, I'm like, if you think this, what's the rest of the world gonna think?
How do you kind of come to terms with those not so favorable comments? You know, you're thinking about them, they stick with you. How do you kind of get past that?
Honestly, depends. I had a family member say to me, like, in the workplace, you should always wear a bandana. Like, it's unprofessional for a woman to be bald in a workplace. And because of that, I have never, ever worn my bald, no hair to work. I always cover it at work. And I think a lot of it has to do with that comment, because what if they think the same thing? Because this family member is somebody very, very, very close to me. And I'm like, what if they think that I'm unprofessional because I'm showing my bald hair as a woman. And I wish that society didn't focus so much on appearances and what genders specific appearances as having no hair. Because I know if I were a man, there wouldn't be a problem with it at all. Like, no one would look at me the wrong way. But since I'm a woman, people are like, oh my God, like, that's so weird that she's bald. Oh my God, gross. And that's part of why I show my natural hair less and less because of comments like that. And like, I know I shouldn't care what people think of me, but in the workplace, you kind of have to. And I don't want to scare away customers either.
What advice would you give to family members or people that are close to people with BFRBs?
Love them unconditionally. Don't judge them. There's plenty of other people out there judging us and saying rude comments. The last people we need it from are the people who are supposed to love us unconditionally. Like, we don't need bullies in our own circle. We have bullies outside of our circles that we deal with every day, or people just looking at you incorrectly. Please don't add on to that.
10 years ago versus now, what is your relationship with your BFRB?
It's definitely better because it's my normal now. I don't remember what life was like before trichotillomania other than the photos that I see because it's been so long. But 10 years ago, me, 13-year-old me, would be absolutely shocked, fainting level shocked, that I am on here talking about this because I just was so insecure about it growing up. And I mean, I still am. I mean, it's not the best thing in my life, of course, but is my relationship with my BFRB the best? I wouldn't say so, but I'm definitely in more of an acceptance stage than I was because I'm just so used to it at this point and it's been a part of my life for 10 years.
Looking to the next 10 years, what are some things that maybe you'd want to accomplish, or maybe ways that you would like to, I don't know, spread more awareness? What's in the future for you?
My goal, and this has been my goal for a long, long, long time, is to go at least a year without pulling. More would be great, but I'm trying to just take baby steps. But I would love to go a full year because I feel like if that happens, that'll probably be like one of my top three biggest accomplishments in life. But sadly, I have not gotten to that milestone yet. But I really, really, really hope it happens, and that's one of my goals with my BFRB. And I hope if people listen to this podcast that I know and I don't know will like feel that they can confide in me about this topic because I know it can be very hard to talk about, or people feel like they're the only ones that do it. So hopefully, people will feel less alone when they hear this. And that's another goal I have, is for people with trich to feel less alone. Like, I could be working with someone with trichotillomania and not even know, like that type of thing.
Do you have any advice for our listeners who are listening right now?
Whether you have a BFRB or not, be yourself, love yourself. Don't let people who are negative get in the way of the love you have for yourself and your self-confidence. I wish I knew that one when I was younger, but I'm glad at this age that I do know that now. Thank you.